passage to many of you. This is the story or the account of David and Goliath. This is probably, you know, if you look at any storybook, child's storybook, it probably has this passage in it, right? And we do also have that song that we sing, "Only a Boy Named David, Only a Little Sling, Only a Boy Named David, But He Could Pray and Sing." And only a boy named David, only a rippling brook, only a boy named David, but five little stones he took, right? And it's all about David and his defeat of Goliath. So let's begin our sermon today by reading this passage, 1 Samuel 17, beginning in verse 1, and reading through the end of the chapter. "Now the Philistines gathered their forces for war and assembled at Soko in Judah. They pitched camp at Ephes-Damim between Soko and Azekah. Saul and the Israelites assembled and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up their battle line to meet the Philistines. The Philistines occupied one hill and the Israelites another, and with the valley between. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head. He wore a coat of scale armor and bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, 'Why do you come out and line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and have him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. But if I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us.' When the Philistine said that, then the Philistine said, 'This day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other.' On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. Now David was a son of an Ephrathite named Jesse, who was from Bethlehem in Judah. Jesse had 8 sons, and in Saul's time he was old and well advanced in years. Jesse's 3 oldest sons had followed Saul to war. The firstborn was Eliab, the second Abinadab, the third Shammah. David was the youngest. The 3 oldest followed Saul, but David went back and forth from Saul and to tend his father's sheep at Bethlehem. For 40 days, the Philistines came forward every morning and evening. The Philistine came forward every morning and evening and took a stand. Now Jesse said to his son David, 'Take this ephah of roasted grain and these 10 loaves of bread for your brothers and hurry to their camp. Take along these 10 cheeses to the commanders of their unit. See how your brothers are and bring them back some assurance. Bring back some assurance from them. They are with Saul and all the men of Israel in the valley of Elah fighting against the Philistines.' Early in the morning, David left the flock and the shepherd and loaded up and set out as Jesse had directed. He reached the camp as the army was going out of its battle positions, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines were drawing up their lines, facing each other. When David left the things with the keeper of the supplies and ran out to the battle lines and greeted his brothers, as he was talking with them, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out from his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it. When the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Now the Israelites had been saying, 'Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give his daughter in marriage, and will exempt his father's family from taxes in Israel. David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." Then Eliab, David's oldest brother, heard him speaking with the men. He burned with anger and he said, "Why have you come down here? And with whom did you leave those few sheep in the desert? I know how conceited you are, and I know how wicked your heart is. You came down to watch the battle." "Now what have I done?" said David. "Can't I even speak?" Then he turned away to someone else and brought up the same matter. And the men answered him as before. What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been a fighting man since youth." David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or bear came out and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. And when it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Saul dressed David in his own tunic. He put a coat of armor on him and a bronze helmet on his head, and David fastened on his sword over the tunic and tried walking around because he was not used to them. "I cannot go in these," he said to Saul, "because I am not used to them." So he took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand and chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with the shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he was despised. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day, the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today, I will give the carcasses of the Philistine armies to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands." As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank in his forehead, and he fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him, and he took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the scabbard, and he killed him, and he cut off his head with the sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. The men Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward in with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath, to the gates of Ekron. The dead were strewn along Shaaraim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistines' head and brought it to Jerusalem, and he put the Philistines' weapons in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this? Whose son is this young man? Abner replied, as surely as you live, O king, I do not know. I don't know. The king said, find out whose son this young man is. As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul, with David still holding the Philistine's head. Whose son are you, young man? Saul asked him. David said, I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem. So, you've probably heard this story before, if not being read from the Bible, or certainly in a child's story book. Back in 2001, the Philadelphia 76ers, if you can, maybe some of you may not have been born in 2001 yet, but if you were born, you may remember the Philadelphia 76ers were in the NBA Finals, in the championship. And the center for the Philadelphia Sixers was Dikembe Mutombo. He was pretty good center. He was the guy that really, I think, in some ways got them there. Allen Iverson was on the team at the time as well, but Dikembe Mutombo was their center. The Sixers were playing the Lakers in the championship, and the Lakers' center was Shaquille O'Neal. And imagine all the hoopla, you know, regarding the championship, and you can imagine, you know, as the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, you know, there's a lot of hoopla around that, right? And we have reporters from all over the world coming to Philadelphia and asking questions. And one of the questions that was asked of Shaquille O'Neal was, Shaquille, I've heard that some people have compared this to David versus Goliath. And Shaquille O'Neal said, you mean Goliath, not Goliath, right? Goliath. It was a reporter that was from China, I think, or somewhere, some foreign nation, and didn't know how to pronounce it. But certainly, Shaquille O'Neal knew about David and Goliath, and I think most people would know about David and Goliath. And Shaquille O'Neal, if you know anything about him, he's 7'1". Yeah, he's been in a lot of commercials lately, so he's a really probably the biggest guy that I've ever seen, a very big guy. And Dikembe Mutombo was no short guy, but he was David, and Shaquille O'Neal was Goliath or Goliath. I think, you know, there's something in us that we all like underdogs, don't we? You know, we root for the underdog. 1960, the Pittsburgh Pirates beat the New York Yankees in the World Series. And everybody loved the fact that the Yankees went down, because the Yankees have won enough World Series on their own, right? In the 80s, we had Villanova won the championship when Raleigh Massimino was then they beat Georgetown. They were, you know, lucky to make the tournament, and yet here they ended up beating one of the number one seeds in the tournament and winning it all. And you know, I think lately I've been paying a little bit of attention to football, and I think the Philadelphia Eagles are relishing, aren't they, the fact that they're the underdogs. As I walk around downtown, there's guys that want to sell me a T-shirt, that underdog T-shirt, right? And we have one of the Eagles wearing a dog mask because he's the underdog. And so, You know, we do relish underdogs, don't we? We root for the underdog. But is that what this story is about? Is that why this story is in the Bible, to give us an example of an underdog winning? Or perhaps this story is in the Bible to show us an example of a man who had great faith. All of Israel was cowering. They were running from this giant. Except for David. Why? Because David's eye was upon his Lord. His eye was upon God. He was concerned for the name of the Lord. Is that why this story is in the Bible? Well, it's certainly true that David was a man of great faith, but there were a lot of men of great faith in the Bible, weren't there? Why is this story here? It is a great story. And people even that don't read any other stories in the Bible probably read this one, right? Or have probably heard of this one. I'd like to suggest to you this morning the main reason that this story is in the Bible. The main reason that this story is in the Bible is to point us to Christ. Is to point us to Jesus Christ. You know, we have to be careful, don't we, you know, about going too far as types that we see in Scripture. David being a type of Christ. But I think we do need to go as far as the Bible goes. And David was God's anointed. And Jesus was known as a son of David. This is an account that points us to Christ. So I'd like to share with you six ways in which this account points us to Christ. The first is that David was chosen. He was chosen as the man in whom the Lord delights. We are told that he is the man in whom the Lord delights. He was chosen as God's champion. As we were reading earlier this morning in 1 Samuel 16, verse 1, Samuel, God had rejected Saul as king. And he told Samuel, now stop mourning because Saul's no longer king and go and choose. I have chosen someone. Go to Jesse of Bethlehem, and I have chosen one of his sons to be king. The choice of David as king was God's choice. And Samuel, when he gets to Bethlehem, he has David's sons all come before him. And he's firstborn, Eliab. 1 Samuel 16:6. This man looks like he's a king. He's got an outward appearance of a king. And surely this must be the man. But God says to Samuel, man looks on the outward appearance, but I look on the heart. This Eliab was not chosen to be king, though he was a son of David, or son of Jesse of Bethlehem. He was not chosen to be king. We are given insight, aren't we, into David's character. David was a servant. When Samuel came to anoint him, when he was out tending sheep. David, when his older three brothers are out to war, where was he? Tending sheep. David's father, Jesse, sends him to Saul, or sends him to the army, and he carries food to the army. All of this after he had been anointed king. The Lord had anointed him king. The Lord had chosen him to be king. And yet, we find David just returning to work and doing what he's always done. We're given insight into David's character. The Lord had also chosen another person in this account. He had chosen Goliath. He had chosen Goliath for humiliation and defeat. Goliath was the uncircumcised Philistine, the Philistine that was not part of God's covenant people. He was chosen for defeat. We're given insight, aren't we, into Goliath's character. Goliath, I think, as opposed to David, was proud. I defy the armies of the living God. And then when David goes out to fight him, well, who is this David that you would send him out to fight me? Am I a dog? You know, shepherds, they had sticks, right? And with their stick, they would beat away the dogs that would come am I a dog? You fight me with a shepherd's stick? You don't even bring real weapons. Am I a dog? David was God's chosen man. David was God's chosen man for the occasion. So how does this point to Christ? Well, Jesus is the one whom the Father chose in whom he delights. Matthew 3, verse 17, at the baptism of Christ, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes upon him from heaven. This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Chosen. And don't we have an insight into Christ as well? Like David, he was humble. It says in Philippians that he took on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and found in appearance as a man, he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. So David was chosen. Christ was chosen. David points us to Christ. Secondly, David points us to Christ in that he was given the Spirit of God to do this mighty deed. And to do all the mighty deeds that he did throughout his kingship. 1 Samuel 16:13. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, what? The Spirit of the Lord came on David in power. And we see that exemplified in David, don't we? We see that, what does he say in 1 Samuel 16, verse 32? Let no one lose heart on account of this uncircumcised fellow. The lion and the bear came to attack me. This Philistine is just like them. The Lord, see this? He gives all credit to the Lord. The Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear, and certainly he has delivered me from him. You see, the Spirit of God had departed from Saul because of his disobedience and the hardening of his heart, his refusal to repent. The Lord took his Holy Spirit from Saul. We see the passage that we didn't read this morning between the battle between David's being anointed in the battle, that Saul is troubled in spirit. He's troubled in spirit, and David plays his harp for him to soothe his spirit. Why was he troubled in spirit? It was because he didn't have the Spirit. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had left him. See, Saul should have been the champion, shouldn't he? He should have been the one that was the champion. But the Holy Spirit was not with him. The Spirit was not with him. Our Lord Jesus was also given the Spirit of God to do his mighty deeds. Luke 4, verse 18, his first sermon, he quotes from the book of Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. Freedom for the captives. Sight to the blind. The year of the Lord's favor. And what does he conclude? Or what is his first point of his sermon? Today, Scripture is fulfilled. You're hearing. So David was God's chosen. Christ was God's chosen. David had God's Spirit. Christ had God's Spirit. David was the anointed one. David slew the giant as the anointed one. He had been anointed. This occurs after his anointing. What was David concerned about? Was he concerned about his reputation? He was concerned about the name of the Lord. You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord. These are the armies of the Lord. The Israelites had forgotten that. Goliath thought that they were the armies of Saul. Not the armies of Saul. The Spirit had left Saul. They were the armies of the Lord. And David, as God's anointed one, was the one that was chosen to deliver them. Christ, likewise, was God's anointed one, wasn't he? Christ overcame Satan as God's anointed one. We remember back when he cleared out the temple. What did he say in John chapter 2? Zeal for your father, for my father's house has consumed me. He was concerned for the name of his father, that the name of his father be honored and glorified. God's anointed. Christ overcame Satan as God's anointed. The fourth way that we see David as a type of Christ was with the weapons that he used. Goliath was defeated with a weapon that Goliath scorned. He scorned it. Goliath, he was well armed. He had a spear that was 15 pounds. The tip of it was 15 pounds. He had 125 pounds of armor on him. He had a shield bearer that walked in front of him. He had a helmet of bronze. He had armor on his shins, greaves, bronze greaves. He scorned David. I don't know if his helmet, what it was like, but if it had a covering, he scorned him so much that he didn't even put the covering on his helmet. He was defeated by a weapon that was scorned. Satan, likewise, in Christ, was defeated with a weapon that Satan scorned, the cross. The cross. Christ became obedient to death, even death on a cross. David used Goliath's own weapon to cut off his head and make a public spectacle of him. Right? He knocked him down with a stone and then he went and cut off his head with his own weapon. Christ, get this, this is good. Christ used Satan's own weapon, death, to make a public spectacle of him. Colossians 2:15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Benefits. What were the benefits of David's triumph? David triumphed over his foes. While the people of God were to benefit for what he had done. They were cowards. They failed. David triumphed, and they benefited. The Israelites plundered the Philistines. Jesus won the victory over sin and death on behalf of his people, that we can share the benefits in his kingdom. We failed. Christ triumphed. We benefit because of what Christ has done. It is because of Christ that we... this is 1 Corinthians 1:30. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us the wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. We have the benefits that come from Christ's victory. So we have six reasons, six types, six things that point us to Christ in this. I'd like to suggest that there's one more way in which this story points us to Christ. Because, you see, when we look at David, he was very successful in this, wasn't he? He defeated a whole army with a stone. Right? But when we look at David as a whole, he was a failure. He was a failure. His family was a mess. He murdered a man. He committed adultery. He was a failure. You see, David points us to Christ. David needed a Savior. We need a Savior. We have a Savior who has blotted out all of our sin. We have a Savior who, when God's honor was at stake, brought glory to him. We have a Savior who gave us the Holy Spirit. The battle belongs to the Lord. See, we could not win this battle by ourselves. We needed a Savior. And David points us to that Savior. The battle belongs to the Lord. So, whenever you're tempted, whenever you're tempted to sin, whenever you're tempted to think that your own righteousness is great enough, remember this. The battle belongs to the Lord. Remember this. You have a Savior who did it all, who paid the price for your sin. Remember, when you're tempted to sin, it's not your name that's at stake. It's His name that's at stake. The battle belongs to God.